You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The cost of a barbecue is down from last year.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Hot dog.
Today at noon.
The Biden economic plan is working.
On 55 KRC. The 55 KRC, the talk station. Happy Friday. There it is. Woohoo for Friday, and a very happy one to you. My name is Brian Thomas. You have tuned to the 55 KRC Morning Show. My executive producer's name is Joe Strecker, and I certainly appreciate what he does, lining up the show and taking care of the phone calls, pushing buttons, making sure the thing goes well. Without Joe, the show don't go. That is a standard catchphrase around here, but it's got a lot of accuracy and truth to it. Today on the 55 KRC Morning Show, speaking of Joe Strecker and what he does for the show, Dave Hatter coming up at 6:30. Always enjoy my conversations with Dave, and I hope you do as well. It's frightening quite often. Very informative, though. Today we'll be talking about the FBI warning about spoofed websites with misleading URLs. Cybercriminals using website templates that allow them to spoof real companies and government agencies very quickly and easily. Frightening prospect, that one. If our own government, who we rely upon to protect us from such things, can be is duped, maybe we shouldn't have so much faith in the powers that be. Gmail collects a ridiculous amount of data on iPhone. And finally, kids' debit card apps collect a scary amount of data as well. Kids' debit card apps. Wonder if that trip's really necessary. Hey, Joe, your kids have debit card apps? Not apps. It's kind of what I thought. Anyway, following that, Chris Klug, Better Business Bureau 2021 Patriot Cup. Yay! That raises money for the Center for Ethics in Cincinnati's Veterans Affairs. Sycamore Sporting Clays. That I love the Better Business Bureau because every year, I think last year was they took a pass because of COVID. Their charitable event is Sporting Clays. You take a shotgun, you shoot at moving clay targets. It's a riot, fun, good time. If you've never done it before, I highly recommend it. It is so much fun. And how many organizations out in the world would actually embrace a shooting event to raise money for charity? I love the Better Business Bureau. But then again, I love Sporting Clays. So may very well be there. I have to check my schedule. It's July 16th, begins at 8 a.m. They usually say that I can come late because, of course, the show isn't over until 9. But I have participated in years past and just get there when I can. But great time. Absolutely great time. If you haven't ever shot Sporting Clays, but you have some, you know, some measurable skill with a shotgun, you'll do just fine. You'll have fun, though. I know that. Michael Easton's going to join the program at 8:05 with the book, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter. Oh, yeah. And Jason Williams on J.D. Vance joining the Senate race, trying to get Rob Portman's seat, him and everybody else. And then whatever happened to Coast, Coalition Against Taxing and Spending. So we will get the answers to those questions, or at least engage in a enlightened discussion with Jason Williams, who I really enjoy speaking with on Friday. So there is your show lined up. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, or hit pound 550 on your AT&T phone. Wow, where to begin? I guess with COVID. Do you have to do that, Brian? Do you have to begin with COVID? Well, we got some good news. If you were worried about your children and COVID and dying, you probably shouldn't. It would be an unreasonable thing to assume or to think about. According to the most recent analysis out of, I believe it was England where they did that, they of the 469,982 children in England who were infected, 469,982 children documented infected. 99.995% survived. Now that's a higher survival rate than the flu. I can't imagine what other survival rates it's higher than, but the likelihood of your children dying from COVID-19 characterized Wall Street Journal's words extremely slim. 99.995%, you're probably more likely to die in a car accident or crossing the street. Fewer deaths among children due to the virus than initially suspected. In fact, among the 61 child deaths that were linked to a positive COVID-19 test in England, 25 were actually caused by illness, the illness itself. So 61 linked, only 25 actually killed by COVID. Three studies by researchers in the UK reviewing the National Health System's medical records or pulling together data from other countries published yesterday. Not yet reviewed by independent experts, but pretty damning evidence if you are one of the people who thinks that actually the children are going to die from this. And remember, this is against that we have a study here against the backdrop of, I believe, wasn't it the Chicago Teachers Union that said they won't come back to work or they don't want to come back to work until 80% of the children are vaccinated and they get new HVAC systems or something. They don't want to go back to work, I think is what the bottom line is. They do like getting paid, though, throughout this whole thing. Called the most detailed analysis yet of severe illnesses and death from COVID-19 in children. One of the studies focused only on the deaths. The other two studies examined the risk of severe illness and death. Researchers previously had found the risk of severe illness and death from COVID-19 among children under 18 was relatively low. We've been talking about that for a long time. New studies, though, confirm the findings according to the weight of the evidence as policymakers and school officials make decisions about mask wearing and physical distancing. And as to mask wearing, on an unrelated, actually kind of related point, Senator Rand Paul has now will introduce legislation to repeal the mask mandates on airplanes. You know, yesterday was Jay Ratliff, our aviation expert day. So I am certain, since his wife is prohibited from flying because she can't wear a mask due to health conditions, that he will embrace Senator Paul's legislation repealing the mask mandates. He said he's going to introduce it when the session returns. I will be introducing an immediate repeal of the mask mandate on planes. Enough. Time to stop this farce and let people travel in peace. Good for you, Senator Paul. Anyway, back over to the studies and the researchers. Some vaccines are in late-stage testing for younger children. We've heard about this. Some countries are ordering it or mandating it. Some are suggesting it. Here in the United States, it's a suggestion. But some are advocating it, that it be mandated. CNN's medical analyst, and I want to laugh to even bring this up. Dr. Jonathan Reiner, yesterday, speaking on Out Front, the program, thinks it's a good idea to mandate vaccines. The government entering into your life and deciding for you, not a doctor, not you in consult with a physician who knows most about your health, your underlying health conditions, your status, and maybe a doctor who's even read the study on children who have a 99.995% survival rate, might recommend that your child not get the vaccine. But if you listen to Dr. Reiner, he says maybe it's time to start mandating. Joe Biden, of course, encouraging people to get mandated. Get ready to get the door knock on your door from your federally hired. Yeah, there's a job for you in this insane job market where there are so many job openings and so few people are willing to take those jobs. The government, I'm certain, will be hiring people to go knocking on doors and informing you about the benefits of the vaccine and why you should get it. Make sure you have a copy of the British study in your hand when they recommend your children get it. Reiner said, I do think it's time to start mandating vaccines. And I think that the private industry and private organizations will do that. In other words, your business, The one that you hope to go back to, the one that you hope the doors will reopen, if it's an extent they haven't already. I think we've pretty much reopened at this juncture. But that is a suggestion and a strong one. And who's got more control over business than government? Business is in bed with government. It typically is these days. That's just the way that's the way it happens to be, and it's the way it's pretty much always been. How do you think the tax code ended up being what the tax code is? Carve-outs and cut-outs and, you know, special favors for businesses that fall into certain categories. Yep, business inextricably intertwined with government because, of course, business has to follow the edicts and mandates of government, and government can bring about pressure. I'll just merely quickly remind you of Eric Holder's Operation Chokehold, where they put pressure on banks to stop doing business with certain entities out in the world, like payday lenders, under fear of government compliance audits. Oh, my God. You mean if we don't comply and do what they in the Justice Department are telling us, we're going to have to struggle through and suffer through the expense and the worry and the concern of a compliance audit? Yep, that's what they do. So this Reiner guy is, I think, revealing the reality of what's going on. The government is not, I don't believe, going to endeavor to mandate that you get a vaccine. However, through pressure, political, regulatory, and otherwise, threats of these types of compliance audits, businesses will mandate that you have a vaccine before you can come back to work. I can see that writing on the wall, and I know there's already some businesses out there that require that. Lingering question for me, if you've already had COVID-19 and you have natural immunity, are they still going to force you to get a vaccine before you can go back to work? So far, I haven't run into that problem here at iHeartMedia. I've been coming to work since, well, with the exception of my period of time when I had COVID. So's Joe, walking into work every day. We had our, you know, sprays and our wipe downs and, you know, blah, 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 blah. The building had a mask mandate. Everybody just sort of played nicely throughout the whole thing. And here we've come out the other side. So thankfully, I never had to worry about it. But coming to a theater near you, just remember, keep a copy of your European, your British study on children. And again, the number, let me repeat it. You can write it down. Feel free to use it and tell your friends about how unlikely it is that their children are going to die from COVID-19. 99.995% survival rate. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, #550 on your AT&T phone. In case you care to comment, love to hear from you. Plum Type Plumbing, in case you have a plumber.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
There you go. Getting my wife all agitated this early in the morning, Joe Strecker. It's on your hands, not mine. Waiting for the text, the FJB text. Lemmy's state of mind has not changed. Not in all these years. 749-5500-800-823-TALK, #550 on your AT&T phone. Read them faster than that, they're not going to make any sense. Anyway, more, and thanks, Corey. Thank you very much for the link. I watched half of it. It's hilarious. Joe is going to review it for content to ensure that it is completely FCC compliant, but that may be one worth playing. When the Biden administration knocks on your door. It's pretty funny. You can engage in the same conversation this woman has when the fictitious Biden healthcare person knocks on your door. Bureaucrat, I think, is he properly identified as. Anyway, I know CNN's medical analyst has absolutely zero credibility or ability to manipulate the powers that be. Dr. Reiner, who thinks that it should be mandated, you should be forced into getting a vaccine. Well, one of the points that's made in that little video that Corey sent was, you know, we know you haven't gotten a vaccine. Well, wait a second. You've been rifling through my medical records. Isn't that illegal? On some level, it may be argued that it is, but the government does have access to medical records. If your provider happens to be a government provider in the sense that your provider is a Medicare, Medicaid approved provider, that my understanding is, and I could be incorrect on this, and I'm hoping my wife, as she types, oh, there it is, I'm sure, she can correct me if I'm wrong. But they're allowed to come into the medical provider's office and rifle through the records of that particular provider, the provider that provides Medicare, Medicaid services. By virtue of accepting government dollars, yeah, there it is. Yes, it was a trigger. Joe, you just triggered my wife. But the government does have access to your medical records by virtue of your provider being in a relationship with the government, by receiving the government dollars. You have welcomed in. I've had this conversation with my primary care physician previously, and you know there was a period of time there when I just said, well, don't computerize my records. That's what makes it really easy for the government to go through it, if you computerize it. If you write everything down, that means a person actually has to come and physically flip papers. And the likelihood that that is going to happen is probably slim. But in any event, Health and Human Services Secretary Javier Becerra, he said yesterday it was absolutely the government's business, his words, to know who of you has been and has not been vaccinated.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This in response to the GOP and, you know, a bunch of people's criticism. I can't think you can't just lay criticism about the Biden administration's door-to-door knocking campaign at the feet of the GOP. I'm certain there's a lot of independents and maybe even some Democrats out in the world who don't want to be bothered by a Biden administration person knocking on the door. Now, Becerra justified the government's right to get into your medical records and find out whether or not you've been vaccinated because the government has been spending trillions of dollars to try to, well, deal with the pandemic, which is a rather twisted way of violating your rights. Well, we spend money to stop a problem, and therefore your rights are, well, no longer in existence. Quote, so it's absolutely the government's business. It's taxpayers' business. If we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy, well, maybe that's where the problem lies. Why are they continuing to spend money to try to help people from contracting COVID-19? I do believe it is widely known. Joe, have you heard anything about a vaccine being available that stops COVID-19? There's a rumor out there that there's a they would have broadcast it if there was. Matter of fact, aren't there like three vaccines now? I do believe the word has gotten out. This is government treating us like the children that they believe us to be. You have freedom of choice in this world. The word's out. The vaccine's available. And you can get it if you want. And therefore, the government won't have to spend trillions and trillions of dollars to stop people from contracting COVID-19 because of the money spent and the research invested has resulted in a vaccine that apparently prevents you from getting COVID. And if you want to get COVID, don't get a vaccine. Or you're not worried about COVID, don't get a vaccine. Or if you're in the child category, here, let me reread the statistic. 99.995% of the 500,000 children in England who were infected survived. 526 right now, 55KRC, the talk station. Feel free to call if you'd like. Make a comment, 749-5500-800-823-TALK. I want to mention foreign exchange. I just was there a couple days ago picking up my wife's car. Did a great job on that one, man. The price was absolutely. Station. 5:31, 1 hour from Tech Friday with Dave Hatter. Looking forward to that. But over here, look, Tom's on the line. That never happens in the 5:30 segment. 749-5500-800-823-TALK, pound 550 on your AT&T phone. Before I do get to local stories, let's see what Tom's got this morning. Hey, Tom, happy Friday.
Hey, good morning, guys. And I'm just curious, is Joe making sure that he's providing safe spaces for people as he triggers them?
Absolutely.
Right. Who's louder at your house, your wife yelling at the at the radio, or Archer barking because your wife's yelling at the radio?
The former.
Gotcha.
My wife gets agitated when it comes to Joe Biden or discussions.
Yeah, she might get combative as well, you know?
It's possible.
Alluding back to Nancy Grace's story. So they tend to do that when you agitate them and trigger them. Quit it, Joe. You know, all this stuff was that the Democrats are doing and the policies they're trying to implement, this was all stuff everybody was warned about. None of this stuff is really a surprise. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to say this. They're going to do that. They're going to try this. And it makes me continue to wonder how in the world that many people voted Democrat. And if you did anyway back then, you voted a year ago and, okay, whatever. Have you learned your lesson, please?
Well, to that end, I think a lot
of
people are.
I
think a lot of people are. They have gotten, they've gone far too left. They have misread the polls or the research or the information or voter attitudes. This whole defund the police was a terrible direction to go. No one is in favor of that, with the exception of the Black Lives Matter Marxists. I mean, all these cities have been struggling and fighting mightily ever since the defund the police attitude came up. That's just one of many things that I think the Democrats are misguided on and will ultimately suffer as a consequence of. We'll see.
Right, they got the trifecta going. They like to give a bunch of free stuff away, and then they like to shame you, and then they like to use fear and intimidation. So that's their mantra. That's the way they work. That's the way they operate, and we got to not buckle to it. Thanks, Brian.
Take care, man. And when the government person comes knocking on your door, Tom, I want you to record the conversation. Over to local stories. Man in critical condition last night after shooting in Winton Hills, 19-year-old, shot in the head. Happened in the 5300 block of 1 SD Avenue. EMS transported the man to the UC Medical Center with serious injuries. No suspect information at this particular time. Any information about that one? I suspect Crime Stoppers would love to hear from you. 352-3040. Sad story here. Since St. Police said a girl now in critical condition for falling out of an apartment window this yesterday afternoon. Officers responded to the 2700 block of East Tower Drive for report of an injured child. Police said a 4-year-old girl fell from the 4th-floor apartment window, taken to Cincinnati Children's Hospital in critical condition. Prayers for that one, please. A boy who was 14 years old when charged in a shooting last year that killed a man and wounded 2 others, going to be held in the youth detention facility until he's 19. 15-year-old now. Pleaded guilty this week to Hamilton County Juvenile Court, 2 counts of felonious assault, 1 count of voluntary manslaughter. His attorney said the sentence is for 5 years, but the boy received nearly a year of credit for the time he had been held since his arrest. Happened July 26, 2020, East Price Hill in the early morning. According to his attorney, he was confronted by 29-year-old James Hunter and 2 others, including a 14-year-old boy with whom he had fought. Hunter died at the scene. Police said a woman whose name was not released was permanently injured. Boy fired shots at the other 14-year-old, but didn't hit him. plea hearing held Wednesday before Judge Melissa Powers, who was there at the fundraiser last night for Mike Robinson. She is fantastic. Attorney said he was prepared to go to trial, argued the shooting was in self-defense. He said, though, however, it was in my child, or my client's rather, best interest to enter a plea in light of the deal that I procured. He faced 37 years to life in prison as an adult if convicted of all charges. Although the boy lived with his mom in East Price Hill in the months before the shooting, he would not be home for several days, according to the juvenile court records. Where are your children right now? Boy, if you can't answer that question. 536, 55 KRCD Talk Station, Stack of Stupid coming up. Got a good.
Can you play John the Fisherman?
Must be 540 on a Friday. The answer always yes. Even when Joe Strecker's on vacation, which he's not today. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, or pound 550 on AT&T phones. If you'd like to comment, love to hear from you. Otherwise, yeah, it's interesting, Joe. I heard this song the other day. I was listening to satellite radio, and it was weird. It's like it just hits you strange. You hear the, I'm so used to hearing just the intro part on a Friday. It's like I had to look at my watch and check the time of day. It's like, wait, the whole song's not supposed to be playing right now. Anyhow, let's go over to the local stories, or rather, Stack is Stupid. I listen. Are we not allowed to compliment women on their beauty anymore? Is that a definitive no, Joe? I mean, you didn't even hesitate. You said no, you're not. What the hell is wrong with the world? Unbelievably, Boris Becker, tennis great, remember him. He referred to one of the tennis players' fiance as very pretty. And honestly, I saw a picture of her. He's right. Oh, Brian Thomas just referred to a woman as pretty. You know who else is pretty? My wife's pretty. Am I allowed to say that? No, you're objectifying her, Thomas. Go to hell. There's my answer right there. Go to hell. When you can't compliment someone for political correctness, it's, knowing Joe, like next week at some point he's going to have a sound loop of me telling everybody to go to hell. It's one he's going to keep. Right, Joe? Yeah, I know. Next week he's not even going to wait. Golly. Yeah, go to hell. Anyway, Norfolk man. We're going to Norfolk, Nebraska for this one. Walking. Guy was walking naked. Arrested on, well, yeah, drug charges. Norfolk police called to the 100 block of East Benjamin Avenue about 7 in the evening for reports of naked guy. Officers showed up. They found him. At that point in time, dressed only in blue jeans. 39-year-old man homeless and having difficulty communicating with the officers because of the glass pipe, I'm guessing he had that tested positive for methamphetamine, rendered him incapable of carrying on a coherent conversation with the police officers. Drugs are bad. Placed under arrest for possession of a controlled substance, now housed in the Norfolk City Jail, later transferred to the Madison County Jail. That's in case you wanted to visit him, so you know where he is. Another naked guy, this one in Washington County, Utah. Naked man crawled through a door. Door to Washington County after hearing, quote, sexual voices, close quote, in his head.
Kinky.
Harvey Korman. Stampeding cattle through the Vatican, wasn't it? Probable cause statement from the 5th District Court of St. George said Craig Anthony Balabar, 37 years old, facing charges of burglary, which is described as a second-degree felony, lewdness, a Class B misdemeanor, and intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. July 5th, arresting officer, Washington County Sheriff's Office, responded to a report of a burglary. Quote, the victim reported a male had crawled through the doggy door to his residence and was inside the home. Victim retrieved his firearm for protection until police arrived. According to the report, upon arrival, I met the victim and the suspect male in back of the residence. Suspect male identified as Craig Balabar, sitting on the floor of the bathroom, naked, wearing only socks and shoes. I don't know if he was smiling, Joe. He may have been. Resting officer wrote, I asked Craig what he was doing there. Craig stated I wouldn't believe him if he told me. Then started to ramble nonsense. I asked Craig when the last time he used drugs was in, which he said, today. In fact, he specifically said he'd used methamphetamine. Quote, Craig stated he was hearing sexual voices in his head and was following the voices. Craig stated that he followed the voice into the listed address. The voice told Craig he could find her in the home, and that's when he entered the residence. Suspect said he was looking for a woman to have sexual relations with. Balabar stated that he was at a Chevron gas station when he started hearing the voices, and then he took off his clothes, scaled the wall separating the back of the home from the neighboring properties. Taken to the Purgatory Correctional Facility. How about that for a name? Where he's being held without bail. 546 right now.
You're
right. Here, see the talk station. .551, 55 KRC, the talk station. Yeah, it was, what was it? How many weeks ago was it that I interviewed Lexi Lawson, who's running for Anderson Township Trustee? Like 3 weeks ago? A couple weeks ago. First radio interview she ever had. I got to meet her in person last night. And I talked to Alex Tarantafilo about her. I said, what a dynamic woman. She's smart. She's on the ball. And I said it out loud. I said, and she is easy on the eyes. She's pretty. And I met her last night. You know what? She is. There, I said it. Put me in a category with Boris Becker. What is with the world? It's a compliment, for God's sake. Anyhow, strongly encourage you, if you haven't met Lexi, she is really an amazing woman. I told her last night, I said, someday you're going to be senator. So I expect she's going to do a fantastic job for Anderson Township. It was wonderful that she made the trip all the way over to see Mike Robinson's fundraiser. And Alex Tarantafilo was there, as I mentioned. Brad Wenstrup was there. It was just a really nice event. And boy, as Mike said on the radio yesterday, if you get a chance to listen to him, you can pull up the podcast. You're known by, or you are judged oftentimes by the company you keep. That was some great company last night. So it was a pleasure to be able to facilitate that, and it was good seeing everybody. Go back to the stack of stupid. A former Alabama, I love this argument, former Alabama high school teacher once claimed it was her constitutional right.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
To have sex with two of her students. What? It didn't work. That argument chucked out. She's now sentenced to 10 years in state prison, which outcome I could have told you in advance when you're going for something so absurd by way of legal argument. Carrie Cabrie-Witt is her name. She's 47 years old. going to get serve most of her sentence on probation after spending 18 months behind bars and another 18 months in community corrections program. So that's that time served kind of thing. This case goes back 5 years, apparently. History, psychology, and social studies teacher at Decatur High School. Back in March 2016, she was arrested for having sex with two male students who were 17 and 18 years old, charged under a 2010 state law with two counts of school employee engaging in sex act or deviant sexual intercourse with a student under the age of 19. Deviant sexual intercourse. Is there a website for that one? Anyway, Witt insisted that she was being prosecuted for a consensual relationship only because she worked at school, as the age of consent in Alabama happens to be 16. Attorneys argued the state teacher-student sex law violated the client's 14th Amendment to right to privacy and equal protection. Back in 2017, a judge agreed that the law was unconstitutional and dismissed Witt's case. However, Alabama Court of Appeals later reversed the ruling, sent the case back to the lower court, reinstating the charges against Witt. She pleaded guilty in March to one count of school employee engaging in sex act with a student under the age of 19. They dismissed the second count. She also coached girls golf and junior varsity cheerleading, apparently. Was on the Decatur City Schools payroll for more than 2 years on pay leave before finally quitting in 2018. You think her union contract had anything to do with that? Huh? Oh, another reason for Joe. Yeah, I know how much you love roller coasters. We have June, 47-year-old Dawn Janovic got on board of a roller coaster called The Voyage at Santa Claus Indiana Amusement Park. When the ride stopped, when it returned, she was unresponsive. EMT performed first aid, rushed to a nearby hospital, later died. Her cause of death remained a mystery for a while, but this week, DuBois County Coroner Kate Shuck announced the results of her autopsy. According to the coroner, cause of her death, severe internal blood loss is a consequence of the tearing of her artery.
Dude, what the hell?
This, because of the force of the roller coaster, according to the coroner. Simply put, the force from the Voyager ride caused her right internal thoracic artery to tear, resulting in what they describe as rapid internal blood loss. According to the park officials and everybody else, I guess the coroner included, the roller coaster was functioning properly. Death had nothing to do with the ride itself, although one could make an argument that, no, that's not true. Reminds me of the eggshell skull discussion you have in law school. You take your, the person you harmed as they exist, just because they have an eggshell skull and it cracked easily, if you're the one that cracked it, it's not a defense. I wonder if that'll work in connection with a torn artery. Latent defect, that one. 556, 55 KRC, the talk station. Plenty coming up, including an interaction. The door-to-door folks are out and about. We managed to score from Corey some audio about the interaction between the government vaccine guy and one of the general public. So we'll play that when we get back. Plus, again, Tech Friday, Dave Hatter coming up at 6:30. I'll be right back after the news. Go to hell.
The world is calling.
Inflation. The border. The
Chinese scientists.
Russian cyber terrorism.
And we'll take you there.
Get out of the house this summer.
On 55 KRC, the talk station.
6:05 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station, and a very, very happy Friday to you. Always enjoy Fridays, because the 6 o'clock hour at 6:30 every Friday includes Tech Friday with Dave Hatter. Always interesting subject matter, if not frightening, but fair warning. He gives us fair warning each and every week. FBI warning us about spoofed websites with misleading URLs, Gmail collecting a ridiculous amount of data off of your iPhone, and kids' debit card apps also collecting a scary amount of data. Those are the topics we'll be dealing with at the bottom of the hour with Dave Hatter. That is always a good segment. Can't stick around for that, of course, podcast, 55KRC.com. Better Business Bureau Patriot Club, Patriot Cup is an awesome event. It's a charity fundraiser, and it involves shooting sporting clays. Chris Klug going to join us at 7:40 to talk about it. And props to the Better Business Bureau for that activity as a fundraising event. In this day and age, you know, I find out you can't even compliment a woman on her beauty. That's what freaked me out and bothered me in the last hour. Boris Becker get an earful because he had the audacity to say a woman was pretty. What the heck? You know, how many organizations would actually get your firearms out, get your shotguns out, we're going to raise some money. God bless them. And it's fun. Shooting sporting clays is a riotous, fun, good hobby. Michelle Easter with the book, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter. Apparently, you can still do that. That at 8:05. We'll get the details from Michelle then. Jason Williams, Politics Extra, and other columnists for the Cincinnati Inquirer. He's going to be talking a little bit about J.D. Vance's run for Senate and what happened to the coalition against additional spending and taxes. Coast. Those are the topics with Jason. In the meantime, of course, Joe Biden wants our government workers to go door to door to get you to convince you to take a vaccine. The fun figure that we all need to remember today, I will read it again. Don't have to go into all the details. You can find the Wall Street Journal article or find the source material directly. The British study for almost 500,000 children in England who were infected, 99.995% survived. The risk of serious illness and death in children is extraordinarily low, lower than dying from other illnesses. 99.995% survival rate. So let's keep that in mind, especially when we get Joe Biden's government worker come knocking on the door. And thanks to Corey for passing along the link to the audio on this one. Joe's got it. Here's the interaction recorded live.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
Can I help you?
Oh, hi. I'm with the Biden administration. Do you have a minute for me to tell you about the non-FDA approved injection we desperately want you to get?
Why the hell are you knocking on my door?
I'll take that as a yes. We've been reviewing your medical records, and it appears as though you haven't gotten the...
That's illegal.
Indeed. And what they show is you haven't gotten the shot yet, so I'm here on your private property to pressure you into doing so.
Letting politicians decide what medicines I take is insane. You're not doctors. You're not even qualified.
We're politicians. We like power. And we feel that qualifies us to do whatever we want.
It absolutely doesn't. What I put in my body is my choice, and I'll consult my doctor over that because he knows me personally. Because it's a medical issue.
No, ma'am. This is more of a political issue. You can trust us.
You're part of the government, and you work for me. And you being here is a complete infringement on my rights. You need to read the Constitution.
At the Biden administration, we don't believe in the Constitution. It's not really how we want to govern. So you need this shot.
The fact that you really want me to get this thing makes you look really, really suspicious.
Thank you. You don't even know the half of it.
And the more you push this thing, the more I doubt the safety.
Oh, no. When you look at this spreadsheet with our profit margins, you'll see that what we're working with here is totally safe for business. And the long-term clinical trials of an hour and a half are squeaky clean. You have nothing to worry about.
It seems like you just want control.
For your protection, yes. Thank you for seeing. We're just looking out for your best interests with our propaganda campaign, censorship, and now me being here knocking on your door. You're welcome for all that we've been doing.
Are people dumb enough to believe that?
Some are. Now, I would really like to stab you with this needle and inject what's in it that you have no control over into your body.
Absolutely not.
I kind of just want to do it anyway.
My body, my choice, you creep.
That's not the way we see it. At the Biden administration, we look at it as your body, our choice. It's kind of a Bill Cosby-inspired mentality we've adopted.
Get off my property now.
No. I don't understand. Are you saying you don't want the shot that you've chosen not to get? Wait. While I'm here, do you mind if I confiscate all your guns?
There you are. That's about how it's going to go down, too. Health and Human Secretary Becerra says it's absolutely the government's business to know whether or not you've been vaccinated. I like the little allusion to, isn't that illegal? Oh, of course. Anyhow. Oh, something else to worry about. I'll just throw this fuel on the fire. Australia, they've been looking at well, mutant COVID-19 strains. You got the Delta. Oh, no, Delta. And you got the, oh, no, Lambda version. And now there's another one. American authorities have yet another variant to, well, get us all ginned up about researchers in California now discovered the, are you ready, Epsilon variant, which features a triple mutation on the spike protein as the virus that is used to infect humans, making it, in theory, more infectious. Notice the...
In theory.
First time the scientists have discovered the so-called triple variant. Okay. And no Olympic spectators this year, thanks to COVID-19. The Japanese have declared, and is it racist for me to refer to the country? I'm serious. I mean, think about that. If I refer to the Chinese virus because of the origin of the virus, then I'm considered a racist or a xenophobe or something because I've identified the source of it.
Not the preferred nomenclature, please.
State of emergency begins on Monday, running through August 22nd, conveniently all the way through the time when the games are scheduled, July 23rd through August 8th. Coincidence? I think not. Apparently, there's a lot of pressure to curb the spread of the virus at the games. And here we are, protecting the athletes and neighboring regions. More than 11,000 competitors are traveling to Japan to compete, along with thousands of officials and staff also set to attend. Can I hold my hand up and ask them if they've been vaccinated? Wouldn't that be the logical conclusion? Are Olympians required to be vaccinated there? How about that as a question mark? Since your employer is going to start pressuring you to get a vaccine for you to come back to work, and you know that's writing's on the wall, do the Olympians have to be vaccinated? And if the answer is yes, then who's protecting who from whom, or however it's phrased? I keep going back to this whole idea of choice. You know, if you're a spectator and you have not been vaccinated and you're going to be sitting next to a bunch of strangers, you are going to be at risk. So you should probably make a judgment call about not going to the Olympics. The Olympics could go forward with spectators, and you could have a big sign up that says, if you have not been vaccinated or, as Thomas continues to point out, have not already suffered through exposure to and infection by COVID-19 and thus have natural antibodies, you will run the risk of getting an infection. Now, that exists whether or not you go to the Olympics or not, right? Out in the world, grocery shopping. I'm sure the Japanese grocery stores have not been shut down. So you're out and about in whatever state you are, a vaccinated state, a natural immunity state, or an unvaccinated state, and you know which category you fall in. I mean, once the vaccine is out, this whole government crackdown, stopping people from attending events, standing apart and wearing masks, is nonsense. It becomes completely perplexing and ridiculous. Now, you got all these people that bought tickets for the Olympics. It's, you know, it's one of the things a lot of people wait for. You got all these competitors who've been busting their hump their entire lives that can finally get to compete, well, in an empty stadium. Why? I don't know why. Well, I guess they declared a state of emergency. That's why. Why are they declaring a state of emergency, Brian? There's a vaccine out there that's readily available and people can get it and not get COVID-19. Thus, there shouldn't be alarmism. Yeah, I know. 615-55-KRC, the talk station, 749-5500-800-823-TALK. Give me a call if you got. Six 55 KRC Talk Station. Aren't you glad it is Friday? I sure am. David? Yeah, that makes two of us anyway. Hope you are too. 749-5500-800-823-TALK. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk about the Olympics. Oh, and real quick, Olympics, of course, no spectators because of COVID. They've done a lockdown. I did get a text from my wife who definitely knows Health Insurance Portability Accountability Act, HIPAA, which does permit the disclosure of patients' personal health information for public health reporting laws without your consent. She also knows there happens to be reporting requirements for the number of people vaccinated, but she's not clear on whether that includes the identification, your name. So, and I don't think it does. I mean, when you hear that the number of vaccinated folks in the state of Ohio has reached X, well, they don't have the names necessarily. But apparently, if they want your personal health information.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. HIPAA will allow our government to get it. Let's go to the phone and see what Patrick's got to start with. Hey, Patrick, happy Friday to you. Welcome.
Hey, Brian, happy Friday to you as well. Well, on a more sarcastic note, I'm actually kind of stunned that we even still have an Olympics. Because if you think about what they promote, first of all, they promote excellence in the achievements.
True.
And then second of all, they have men and women's competitions.
True.
So that is just going to send the left right over the edge.
Oh, Patrick, they have winners. There's
yeah, exactly.
First, second, and third place, gold, silver, and bronze, which means you don't get a participation trophy in the Olympics, do you, Patrick?
Isn't that so unfair?
It is. Oh, and the other component, I think you kind of alluded to it, let's just put a real exclamation point on it, the idea that you are representing a specific country. You're not a world participant. You're a representative of a specific nation. It's like a war.
And I'm sure those nations have borders.
You know it, man. And remember how awesome it was when the United States Olympic team beat the Soviet Union? It was one of the most patriotic moments that I can remember in my lifetime. Why? Because Soviet Union bad, United States good. And it was nice seeing them get knocked down, wasn't it?
Have a good Friday.
Take care, Patrick. I love it. Let's get to Bob and see what he's got. Bob, welcome to the program. Happy Friday.
Hi, thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
Brian, I'm worried that, and they're afraid to say out loud, that China and the United States were making a biological weapon that got lost or got out of the lab one way or the other. And I have yet to hear someone say that out loud. It's a biological weapon, and they're watching how it affects us.
Oh, yeah, either a biological weapon or, and I guess the fundamental question, Bob, and you raise a really good point by just saying it was a biological weapon. Remove biological weapon and answer the question, and I don't think it's possible, what possible good could come from modifying such a highly contagious virus to make it more contagious?
Yes, that's exactly
what
right.
What the hell?
That's what they did with that double codone. I don't know if you saw the research on it, but it's deliberate. It could not have happened in nature. And I have no other conclusion. Why did they make a virus that was previously harmless to humans to now make it so that as it mutates, it becomes more infectious and thereby more lethal?
Right.
It's a biological weapon. I don't know what else to say. Why they did it deliberately. They knew that the screwing around with the biological spike, with the double codone, that that's what was going to happen. They knew that. They knew that. That's what happened.
Clearly, that is why you create that additional spike. It makes it more infected. No one seems to be arguing anything to the contrary on that one. That it, you know, at least it's well accepted generally that, yeah, more than likely this was developed in a lab. You know, the idea that it mutated in nature has been, I think, thoroughly discounted now that people are now listening to facts and reality. Question is really ultimately why? Why would you do this? Now, was it intentionally released? I tend to want to doubt that. I have enough faith in, you know, humanity to believe that if it was released, it was an inadvertent. But that's why you don't mess around with this stuff. If you don't have a complete, perfect, 100% absolutely positive, nothing is leaking out of this environment, then you don't go messing around with things that are highly deadly and unleash them on the world. It's just absolutely crazy. Good to hear from you, Bob. Stay well. How's that? 625, Sean Hannity Morning Update coming up next. We do have Tech Friday with Dave Hatter following that. Always looking forward to that, and I hope you can stick around for it. First word for Emory Federal Credit Union, where you can round up and save. It's just one little fun thing that Emory does for folks. If you choose to do it, you don't have to. It's just an option. So when you use your debit card from Emory, they'll just round up the dollar amount on your most recent transaction to the highest next dollar amount. So a $2.25 purchase will look like a $3 charge, but where's that extra 75 cents going? It's going into your savings account. So every time you spend using your debit card, there's going to be a little rounding there. And that's just kind of like it's forced savings, but it's a natural, I don't even notice it kind of savings until you look at your bank statement. You're like, dang, where'd all that money come from? There you go. Just one more thing. Fun feature, but convenient. It's 6:29, coming up on 6:30, 55KRC, the Talk Station. One of my favorite times of the week here on the 55KRC Morning Show is talking to Tech Friday's Dave Hatter, and I want to throw a little word of appreciation to Intrust IT, which is Dave's company, voted the best IT services company for your business by the Business Courier of all. That's, of course, a very strong endorsement, and Dave, we appreciate IntrustIT.com for sponsoring the segment, and we appreciate all the information you give us. And we've got an FBI warning to talk about right off the gate here. What's going on, my friend?
Well, first off, thanks, Brian. And secondarily, yeah, FBI, this is something we've talked about a lot. But again, it goes to show you, first off, A, these criminals have a lot of guts. And B, you know, they're really smart and crafty, and they're going to go after these kinds of attacks when they can try to pretend to be legitimate organizations because they realize people are going to be more likely to trust it. So the FBI has warned that cyber criminals, they found at least 99 of these sites out there are essentially copying the stuff off the illegitimate FBI.gov website, setting up spoofed or fraudulent websites that look like the FBI website. And they're using, you know, domain names that are very similar. So FBI.gov is the real thing. They're using something like FBI.info or FBI.ca or whatever they can register, because right, there is some control over that top level domain, that piece at the end, like com. But you know, they'll get whatever they can because they know the average person, if you get a phishing email that claims to be from the FBI and says you've done some heinous thing, or you got to look into this, whatever it is. I mean, you know how they'll do phishing, and it points to a site that looks like the real FBI site and has a domain that is similar to the real FBI site, then the average person is going to look at it and go, wait a minute, that says FBI.info. People just don't pay that much attention, unfortunately, and that's one of the reasons why these guys are able to pull this sort of thing off.
But Dave, I mean, seriously, would the FBI really reach out to someone via email?
No, they will not.
Thank you. I mean, that just sounds dumb.
Or at least, you know, if you go look, you know, and this same kind of thing has been done with the IRS. And I mean, it happens with private businesses all the time.
Right.
But the FBI has explicitly warned about this in relationship to people spoofing FBI websites. Not just a general warning. I mean, there's plenty of people who warned about that. But to your point, you know, if you go look, the IRS will tell you very clearly, if you go to their website, they will not send you unsolicited emails. Will not reach out to you in any sort of initial conversation because you have a tax problem via email. They say that on there.
Right.
The FBI, you know, yeah. So all of these organizations, if you go look, will tell you, we will not just send you an unsolicited email. they'll, you know, write you a letter. I'm sure in the case of the FBI, if you truly are being accused of some sort of crime, they're probably going to come knock on your door. An agent is going to knock on your door. They're not going to send you an email.
Right.
And they're not going to send you an email saying, oh, by the way, if you send us $400 in gift cards,
yeah, I know. I knew that was coming right there.
Yeah. God. Yeah. So, you know, it's being skeptical. It's being aware. It's understanding how easy it is to copy legitimate content from a website and set up a doppelganger or lookalike website. I mean, we talk about phishing and smishing and vishing all the time, right? It's so easy to send out these emails that look legit and point you to one of these sites. You know, they work hand in hand. And of course, if I want to add an air of legitimacy to what I'm doing and or create fear in your mind, if I can spoof one of these government websites and make you feel that there's some sort of, you know, threat to you because you've committed some crime or whatever, you're going to be more likely to act. The bad guys know this. They're pulling this off all the time. And again, the FBI is actually warning. They found 99 of those so far.
Wow.
This isn't going to go away. People just need to be aware.
You know, the other thing, Dave, is I'm sitting here and, you know, the default for people who don't care about privacy is usually, well, I'm not doing anything anyway. You know, yep. Well, I mean, I don't care if people see what I'm not, I have nothing to hide, and that's fine. And I think pretty much one of those people. I mean, you know, I don't really have anything to hide, but I know I haven't committed any crimes. The idea that I might look at something and they're suggesting that I've engaged in some criminal activity is just going to make me laugh more than anything.
Well, and that's definitely the right attitude to have. I agree with you, Brian. I mean, I guess maybe if you are a criminal or on the edge of criminality, maybe you could fall for this. But
yeah.
You know, the answer is always, in addition to being incredibly skeptical, because these sorts of things, you know, continue at a rapid pace and continue to rise, is to understand that these organizations are telling you they won't do this, and you can always go out of band. When you get that email that's giving you some sort of ridiculous instructions about sending gift cards to the FBI or whatever it is, if you feel like you can't ignore it, right, you got to go out of band. Open a new browser window. Don't call the numbers in the email. Don't click the links. Open a new browser window. Look up FBI.gov or look up FBI on your own, IRS, whatever it is. Go to their website. They're going to tell you that they didn't send you that email. And you can at least then get legitimate contact information for them if you feel like you just can't ignore it. But, you know, most of the time, 99% of the time, the right thing to do is ignore it. It's a scam.
Just delete it.
Delete it and remember to be very, very skeptical.
Well, and you know, I have made this point many times. I'm going to treat those things exactly like I treat phone calls that I don't recognize. You get a phone call, it lights up on my phone. Now, if you're in business, it may be a different thing because, of course, you're going to get clients and people soliciting you and calling you and people you might want to talk to. But my default is just don't answer it. And if it's a legitimate call, they're going to leave a voicemail message, right? And then you can call them right back.
That's my approach exactly, Brian.
If for some bizarre reason the FBI would deviate from its strict policy of not contacting you by email, and you ignore that email, they'll get back with you in some other way.
they will. Again, like an agent will probably show up at your house.
Right. And you can have a word with him about the email that you ignored. Hang on, yeah. Dave. I know we're going to be talking about Gmail collecting. I know you hate Google. Collect. It's 6:40 at 55 Care City Talk Station, and a very happy Friday to you. Coming up at 7:40, we're going to hear from the Better Business Bureau about the Patriot Cup Sporting Clay event to raise money for their charity. And we've got a book, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter, by author Michelle Easton. That'll be at 8:05. In the meantime, Tech Friday's Dave Hatter, brought to you by Intrust IT. We're talking about Gmail now and the data it's collecting off the iPhone. What's the story on this one, Dave?
Hey, real quick, Brian, just a quick side note. When people think that they don't need to patch their software, you know, we talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Just taking this in for a second. Microsoft paid $13.6 million last year in bug bounties. A bug bounty is nerds like me trying to figure out how to break people's stuff, and companies like Microsoft, Google, and others saying, you know, we value people attempting to help us find the problems and fix them. Think about that. They paid out $13 million. I mean, that's more than a lot of small businesses.
You get paid when you discover a bug.
That is correct. If you can discover a bug they're not aware of and document it and to their satisfaction, and they accept it as, yes, this is something we should fix, many of these large tech companies will pay you to do that. And again, $13.6 million. So just they're concerned enough about these things that they're paying people. I just want to put that out there.
Important point, and I don't want to cut in too much time on your point you're going to make on the iPhone being data. But this worries me when I read about the government contracting with these folks for military cloud use and things. I mean, are you with me on this, Dave?
Well, I get your point. But here's the thing. They're going to use some software from somebody unless they would start from scratch and write their own.
Oh, God. You know? Yeah, okay. I see the problem.
You see what I'm saying? Whether it's Microsoft or Google or Amazon or someone, you know, Brian, again, software, it's what I did for 27 plus years. I love the stuff, but it's a lot harder to create software without bugs than people think.
A point well taken. You don't want the government trying to do this on its own. It will be a much, much bigger problem than counting on a private company to manage it. Okay, fair enough.
So for the Gmail thing, an interesting story. You know, Apple came out with this app tracking transparency framework. Now, if you want to put an app in their store, the vendor of the app, the Googles, the Microsofts of the world, have to have a privacy label that shows you exactly what that app is going to collect.
Right.
And the point of this is, if you look at anything in the Apple store now, because Apple is requiring Google to do this, of course, everything from Google, like Facebook and other companies that make all their money off your data, are collecting an insane amount of data compared to their competition, not just for Gmail, but for anything Google makes. It's all about the data. It's always been about the data. That's how they make their money.
Right.
And when you look at the comparison of the Google privacy label versus, for example, the Apple email client for iPhone, it is a very stark contrast. And, you know, the point being here, if you like Google and or you don't mind them getting all your data and you want to keep using Gmail, that's fine. But I think
you are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you see how much data they're collecting to give you the quote free unquote app compared to other options that are out there, like ProtonMail, for example, which also is very privacy focused, by the way, it's a pretty stark contrast. To your point, I am not a fan of Google. I've ditched anything from Google and everything from Google. And I would encourage other folks to at least take a look at the other options out there, because giving them all this data about you is helping them not only make an enormous amount of money, but build incredibly detailed profiles of you, which are used in ways that, you know, you can't even really imagine. So Apple is your friend on the privacy front today, because they're forcing other companies to disclose this information.
And that's certainly a good thing. I guess we need to keep in mind that if you're typing something in the body of a text in a Gmail email and you send it, Google is reading that, right? That's the point. They get all the information. You order something off of Amazon. If your Gmail address is the return number, they're going to have the information. You receive the confirmation of the receipt. the delivery information. They're going to have all of that. And that's how they're building profiles, right, Dave? I mean, isn't that how that works?
Essentially, yes. They know who you sent it to. They know who you send stuff to on a regular basis. And again, it's not necessarily nefarious, Brian. It's just that you are giving them an enormous amount of information about you. And they actually do some cool stuff with it. Like, you know, you can go in and look at like all the stuff you've purchased as a quote feature, right? And some of the stuff is helpful to people. My point is, so here's a quote from Andy Yin, the CEO of ProtonMail. It shouldn't come as a surprise to see how much personal data Gmail collects. Google's entire business model revolves around collecting as much private information on users as possible in order to benefit advertisers and other third parties, which is how they get paid. And it,
the only problem that, that other me, third parties also includes our government.
Or anyone that, you know, they can get some benefit from in whatever way they want, because you pretty much, when you read through the terms of service, are giving them access to whatever they want. So, you know, if you don't mind that, and I can give you all kinds of reasons why you should, we don't have time in this segment, but when you have people like MIT out there saying you should try to poison the data these big companies are collecting and pointing out why this surveillance capitalism model is not good, you know, you should potentially rethink why you're using these things and look for more privacy-friendly alternatives. And there are plenty out there at this point.
Fair enough. ProtonMail is one of them. Get Dave Hatter's notes on my blog page, letter55krc.com. Coming up, kids. It is 6:49, coming up at 6:50, 55KRC Talk Station, and a very happy Friday to you. Hope you got good plans for the weekend. Appreciate Dave Hatter and Interest IT for this segment every week, because it keeps us out of trouble, and he informs us of the nefarious and the scary and the dangerous. And I debit card apps. Let's just go ahead and dive on this, because apparently children's debit card apps are also collecting a bunch of data. An app for a debit card? How does this work, Dave? You're going to have to explain what it is, because I don't have one.
Well, so bottom line is there are companies out there who are claiming to help you as a parent teach your kids about how to be smart consumers, how to use debt, how to use credit cards, debit cards, et cetera, right? It's more of an education-oriented thing.
Right.
And you can get a debit card through some of these companies and an app that allows you to kind of control how your kids use it. Again, the theory being this is educational and you have control over it, so you can kind of ease them into becoming an adult. And, you know, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to realize that obviously cash is less and less in use. I don't know. Did you happen to catch the other day that now Kings Island won't take cash anymore?
Yeah, it bothers me. I'm a cash guy. I typically try to do cash. You know, for the main reason, for depriving credit card companies of information. I just do it for sport, you know. Just I get some money at the beginning of the week. It lasts me the full week. I pay cash for everything. They have no idea what I'm buying.
That's true.
It's fun.
I know for me, well, that kind of goes back to the idea of poisoning the data.
Right. It's sport, like hyper milling and trying to maximize the mileage in your car. Every little bit counts, you know. It's like, okay, yes, I use my credit cards, and yeah, I'm not 100% off the grid. I'm not a Luddite, but when I can deprive of them information, I relish in doing it.
Well, and the other thing for me is, there's a psychological pain to actually having to like spend money versus the credit card.
Yes, you know, sir. I you're talking to a born, raised, and still genetic West Sider, my friend. We get that over there.
So you know, but the point that's being made here is that, like so many of these things, they're collecting enormous amounts of information about you. Greenlight is one of the leaders in this space, one of the main companies. So they collect things like names, birth dates, email addresses, GPS, location history, purchase history, and behavioral profile of the kids that are using these apps. Now, you know, here's a quote from the American Pediatric Association. Quote, children are uniquely vulnerable to the persuasive effects of advertising because of immature critical thinking skills and impulse inhibition, unquote. The connection, of course, being
sounds like a lot of adults that I know.
Yeah, I hear you. The point being, so these companies are now collecting a lot of information about your kids, and there's a potential COPPA violation here, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, you know, which says kids under 13, you can't collect their data without consent from their parents. And it's interesting how these companies are trying to skirt that. But they're collecting all this information and, of course, then selling it to advertisers because, for example, Greenlight's policy says they can use this data to, quote, deliver tailored content, unquote, and that they reserve the right to share this data with ad and marketing vendors, insurance companies, collection agencies, and other, quote, service providers, unquote. Again, these companies, even if you're paying some sort of subscription fee, stand to make potentially a lot more money by selling the information. So many of these organizations are building these apps and services because they want the data. They know the value is actually in the data because they can, you know, create highly targeted ads through, quote, service providers, unquote, and marketing agencies and so forth. And they're making a lot of money at this. And, you know, my advice would be, while it may be nice to have access to this content, assuming it's any good and train your kids, the fact that they can, any information that's being collected about your kids, you know, like for me and you, Brian, we talk about this all the time, but, you know, we're older guys. Yeah, they got a lot of information about me over the last 10, 15 years or so. But you're talking about, you know, a kid today.
A lifetime
of this.
Wow.
A lifetime of
that,
it, you know?
Really puts an exclamation point on your thoughts here, Dave. That's a frightening reality, a complete life picture.
Yes, from, you know, basically the time they're old enough to pick up one of these phones or computers till forever. So I think trying to prevent any more data collection about your children than absolutely necessary, because it's almost impossible not to have some at this point, is a good thing. And think about the potential long-term consequences of this.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would avoid this like the plague if it were me. My youngest, you know, who's the only, I only have one kid now who even sort of fit into this demographic. Yeah, we won't be doing this, I can tell you.
Yeah, it was a lot easier to keep your kids away from, you know, what you perceive as a parent to be dangerous content or troubling things like this a long time ago. I remember, you know, I've read so many articles about the content of television and how it, you know, it runs contrary to the traditional grain of society and societal beliefs and, you know, new characters and demeaning of men and, you know, introduction of LGBTQ, all that kind of stuff. And you really can't avoid it and can't get away with it. Just back in the day when I was little, I remember the show MASH and All in the Family, early 70s, and the early 70s, about the time I maybe had been 6 or 7 years old. I wasn't allowed to watch those shows. Mom and Dad, nope, you got to go out of the room, go upstairs, time for bed, turn the television off. They were very strict about the programming that we were allowed to see. And you may laugh about it and think it's quaint now, but you, Dave, more than anyone, knows about what's on the internet, and it is some horrific and frightening things out there. How you keep your kids away from it, in addition to worrying about the data that's being compiled from quote-unquote semi-legit companies, it's just, it seems darn near impossible, Dave.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, there are software apps and things you can do in your router to try to block some of this sort of stuff. But, you know, to your point, I can remember when the show Three's Company was very controversial.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's so tame compared to virtually anything you could just stumble into on the internet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tough.
It is. Dave, I can't thank you enough for the time you spend with my listeners and me every Friday. And again, intrustit.com is where you go for your business to avoid the problems that Dave talks about on a weekly basis. Thanks again for sponsoring the segment. And between now and next Friday, Dave, I hope you stay well and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Brian, to you and Joe and all your listeners. And I look forward to chat with you next Friday.
Take care. 657 right now, 55KRC CD Talk Station. Plenty to talk about coming up, including a Better Business Bureau fundraiser that involves shotguns. Chris Klug will join us at 740. I'll be right back.
Inspire.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. Be inspired. Again.
Unafraid and unabashed.
The battle for liberty and freedom.
Today at noon on 55KRC, the talk station.
It's 7:06. Here at 55KRC, the talk station. A very happy Friday to you. Love Fridays. Thanks to everybody who made it to Mike Robison's fundraiser event last night, running for Miami trustee, and just a terrific turnout, and what a wonderful group of folks that were there. It was my distinct pleasure to facilitate, introduce people, but just to hang out, and props to the sponsors. I will specifically mention La Rosa's. They were involved. We had Skyline there, Lambertini's family. Thank you very much. And Chandler's. I want to thank Chandler specifically. They had their award-winning chicken wings, and they did quite a bunch of them. And that is a handmade item there. They have to individually bread them and fry them and prepare them. And so Mike was very lucky to have such wonderful sponsors there. And so hats off and salute to those. I'll also mention Chandler's in the context of listener lunch. Now, this coming Wednesday, next Wednesday, we're going to be at Anderson Pub and Grill, which we love. Those folks always treat us great. Same way that the Price Hill Chili treated us great, and always has in the past, or have in the past. 2 weeks from next Wednesday, we will be at Chandler's on the West Side. And they just got awarded the Best of the West Burger and Wings from Cincinnati Magazine. So you got something to look forward to in addition to just being able to see Renee over at Chandler's. So there you go. That'll be 2 weeks from next Wednesday. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK, #550 on AT&T phones. Care to comment? Love to hear from you. I'll just read the figure again because I started off this morning with it. And you're just tuning in because a lot of people come and go throughout the morning. 99.995%. People here hearing the 5 o'clock in the early part of the 6 o'clock. I got it, Thomas. We heard it. What does that number mean? That is the survival rate of children. They did a study in England. Almost 500,000 children who got COVID actually got it. Infected. 0.005% passed away. The vast majority survived. And in fact, the serious illness part wasn't even that bad. So in addition to not having a serious illness, the likelihood of your child dying is extraordinarily slim. And I would love to see, you know, a whole bunch of statistics like the death rate based upon some other childhood ailment or something like the flu. But insofar as COVID is concerned, your young people apparently are almost immune from death on it. So 99.995% survival rate of all the children in England that got it. How's that? And, of course, COVID ripple effect has produced all kinds of crazy, crazy results. The supply chain problems we're currently facing right now resulting in inflationary pressures. Sean Hannity mentioned that he alluded to an article that came out, I believe it was yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, maybe the day before. Lawn furniture. There was a whole long article about you can't get lawn furniture. It's stuck on shipping containers. It's in the port somewhere. Just one little ripple effect. But the other ripple effect is the hospitality workers. Now, start with the fact that the number of jobs that are out there and available for anyone who is willing to take them. We have a record number of jobs, 9.2 million job openings in the United States. That is a record. Number of available jobs has been record-setting three straight months in a row. Last year, the openings were down as low as 4.6 million, so you have some basic comparison there, a big 5 million more additional jobs. But that was because a lot of the country was shut down due to the COVID problem, right? It says, although the U.S. created 850,000 new jobs in June alone, it will take more than a year at that rate to restore employment to pre-pandemic rates. Don't you think it's about time we shut off these rich government, let's stay at home and make more money at home than we can on the job? Now, speaking of jobs, it doesn't sound like the hospitality industry is a place that people are planning on going back to. In a separate article, they did a survey of hospitality workers. These would be folks in the food service industry, restaurant, hotel staff, things like that. Half.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights.
Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
A former hospitality worker said that they are not going to return to their previous job in the industry. A third of the hospitality workers, former ones, I should say, say they weren't even considering reentering the industry. That's according to JobList's second quarter survey of about 13,000 job seekers. A little over half the respondents said that they were switching industries because they wanted a different work setting. Little under 50% said they wanted higher pay. 29% wanted better benefits. 1 in 5, they wanted jobs with more flexibility. And 16% said they wanted to work remotely. Lots of different and varying reasons. All of these people, and for whatever reason, say, I'm not going to go back into that industry. That is going to result in the industry having to adjust. In other words, lure people back with higher pay or richer benefits. And that's just really the only thing that's going to solve the problem. Or if people lose their comforting government benefits at home, they may decide they do want to return to employment, and therein you will find plenty of opportunities in the hospitality business. Question is whether you want to do it or not. I got to bring this fact up before I get to Lawrence's on the phone. Just 1 second, Lawrence. In connection with this, you know, they were making points, as articles always do, and I can't remember which source I got this. McDonald's. They say they're lifting their wage in its corporate-owned restaurants by an average of 10%. And they don't identify the chicken restaurant chain. I don't know which one it is. But it says here, a Texas chicken restaurant chain is giving teenage fast food workers $50,000 a year manager jobs. Teenagers. That's kind of like a career position right there, isn't it? Anyhow, that's the status of the situation presently right now. If you want a job, there's one waiting for you. Stick your toe in the water. I think you'll find it quite enjoyable to be back at work. Lawrence, thanks for calling and for holding. Welcome to the program, sir. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Hey, same thing to you, Brian. Thanks for having me. And you said $50,000 for high schoolers for a Texas fast food. I wonder if it's rich. They got great chicken in Houston.
Maybe. You know what? That's one of the fringe benefits, I guess, of working at a place like that. You probably get free food.
Right. Yeah. Frenchie's. I remember going to Houston, and that was a great time with my college buddy. And he took me to this place called Frenchie's, and it brought that to mind when you said fast food for $50,000 and it's chicken. I was like, huh, I wonder if it's Frenchie's.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to put it in words. Since you mentioned Texas and that chicken, my son travels quite a bit for his employment, and apparently Nashville is the place for hot chicken. He's actually driven an hour out of his way to make it over to this one particular chicken shack in Nashville just to get it. So anyway, wow.
Tell him to check out Frenchie's in Houston if he ever gets to Houston.
I'm there, man. If I'm ever in Houston, you know it. I'm going.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, listen, I called because I saw the press conference yesterday. I'm not sure if you were aware of it too, but the U.S. attorney stepping in and charging about 16 people with federal gun crimes.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those are African American. I'm an African American male. I'm just curious because, you know, this is stuff that's happening. I looked at the list of names and I just said, I wonder how these people are Caucasian or Hispanic I hate to make this bet, but I'm betting that all 16 of those individuals are African American males.
You think so?
I'm just betting that. And it's sad because I'm an African American male and I'm just looking at what's going on in the city. Like, again, even last night, you probably heard. There was a 19-year-old killed in Winton Terrace on Winnesley Avenue. It's like it's an epidemic of gun violence, and either African American men are the target or the perpetrators. And I just don't like that look.
Well, no one likes that look, Lawrence. I mean, people dying in the streets at the hands of people using firearms to settle scores. It's just becoming more and more common. And yeah, I think it's a sad thing also, Lawrence, that the public and the press don't pay more attention to the black-on-black crime. I mean, we get distracted by Black Lives Matter and George Floyd, and I understand the importance of paying attention to that, and I understand the importance of maybe some police reform and, you know, better ways of dealing with the general public between officers and interaction and all that. But the resonant tone that comes out of all this is it's white people killing black people, and that somehow disproportionately white people are gunning down black people, or white officers are disproportionately gunning down black people. If you look at the crime stats and the people who are actually committing the crimes, it's black people dying at the hands of other black folks. And I don't understand that. It doesn't match with the racist narrative that's going on in the world. I mean,
it's strange to me. I mean, you know, I said this before on your show. Black lives matter no matter who's killing people. Whether
right. It's
black people killing black people, or police officers killing black people, or the aliens killing black people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me. Like, I had to even take some self-inventory on myself, just being an African-American male. And, you know, I'm a father. I have kids, you know, in the community. And so for me, it's like, hey, maybe I need to take more parenting classes. This is not a knock on me or a knock on anybody else, but I'm trying to figure out what I can do. You know what I mean? To kind of impact what's going on. You know, I'm going to try to start committing to a mentoring, a weekly group mentoring with some of the young people downtown in Cincinnati. It's just, to me, I want to do more. It's maybe the opposite way if you look at it, but like these murders of black folks, or other black folks, are pushing me to kind of evaluate, okay, well, maybe I could do more to protect my community. Even though I'm not out here perpetuating this crime, it's sad.
Strong men like you, Lawrence, that have a strong message and a message of nonviolence are desperately needed. From everything I've heard, I did not grow up in a black community. I did grow up with a mom and a dad, and both of them were very good about, you know, setting parameters, disciplining me when I got out of hand, the whole nine yards, everything you're supposed to get from your parents. You know, a strong male influence will make a world of difference in the hearts and minds of young black men. And I encourage you, Lawrence, to do anything you can. Get your friends together. Do this mentor group. You know, organize get-togethers or grill-outs or something. Demonstrate to them that you do not need to be in the streets with a gun shooting people. It seems like common sense to someone as old as me who never had to grow up with that. I mean, of course you don't want to go out and shoot people.
Yeah, I'm a little younger than you, Brian. It's just like I have both my parents in my household. I grew up in the city of Cincinnati, and we have problems. I mean, every family has problems, and you know, but it just never occurred to me that killing somebody with a gun would be the solution.
Exactly. Somewhere along the line, something changed, Lawrence. You are in a position, perhaps a unique position, to maybe do something about it. I applaud your efforts, and to the extent, Lawrence, you get a well-oiled machine together or you're looking for folks to help out, you get a website someday, come on and tell me about it, and you can tell the listeners about it.
I'm going to have somebody that I want to have connect you with because they're doing great work downtown in Ziegler Park.
So I would love to hear from them. They can just get them in touch with Joe Strecker, and we'll get them on the show. Good.
Right.
We need good news. We need to spread it. We need to introduce people to it in case they're not familiar with it. Lives being saved out there, perhaps. Lawrence, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Have a
great weekend, too. 718 right now. 55 KRC, the talk station. 7. It's 7:23 right now. 55 KRC, the talk station. I just got to go back to this because this got me so incensed this morning. Joe got a recorded soundbite out of me. Just this, the whole idea that you're not allowed to compliment a woman on her beauty anymore. That's the new rule now. Joe, and I asked Joe this morning. I said, "Am I not allowed to call a woman pretty anymore?" And he immediately said, "No, you can't." This is the new political correctness now, and it just all came up in the context because I hadn't heard this one before.
Not the preferred nomenclature. Please.
Boris Becker. He's doing some coverage for a game. He's commenting on Martin Fuskovic's future wife, Annette Bozsamennyi. She's from Hungary. So he's speaking with his John Inverdale, his broadcast partner, John Inverdale says, that's Fuskovic's fiance. Her name is Annette Bozsamennyi. He went on to say, which is kind of funny, if you're a tennis player, it's always good to have a partner called Annette. Ba-dum-bump. Boris Becker simply responds, they do say they had the most beautiful women in Hungary. I wouldn't know that, but she's certainly very pretty. And then the internet blows up. Apparently, the feminists have a problem with referring to someone as, in your subjective opinion, pretty. Now, I share his subjective opinion. I'm looking at a photograph of her. I would think, definitionally speaking, she could be in the dictionary under the word pretty. But I guess you're not allowed to say that now because why? Objectifying women? Do you think she has a problem with being called pretty? Who are you protecting here? Whose sensibilities are being protected?
Come on, man.
We live in a bat crap insane time, folks. We really do. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not going to abide. On this one, hell no. I will not abide. Nor should I. Get your cancer screenings. It's 7:30 right now. 55 Care City Talk Station. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday. I love what Goodwill does for us. We'll be talking to Goodwill in the next segment about their fundraiser, the 2021 Patriot Cup, which they have at the Sycamore Sporting Clays, which is right off Ward's Corner Road. Great, great club down there. It's a private club, and people are allowed to. I mean, you don't need a membership to go shoot there. But it's Sporting Clays. Usually have 18 to 20 different stations, and you'll shoot between 2 and 3 or 5 sporting clays at each station. It's just a riot, fun, good time. And I love, love, love the fact that the Better Business Bureau actually has a fundraising event that involves shotguns. It's just, to me, is great. Anyhow, we'll get to that next. In the meantime, I'm going to get to Dennis's phone call, 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. Dennis, welcome to the show. Are you with me on this one or what?
Oh, absolutely. Arguably the most elegant first lady in the history of the Republic was disregarded and insulted repeatedly. And we had arguably not the most elegant first lady end up on the cover of Vogue. The
yeah.
whole idea goes back to the great Rush Limbaugh that explained that the feminist movement cannot tolerate merit and can't tolerate intelligent, accomplished persons like Melania Trump that speak 3, 4, 5 languages and
And Dennis, let us not overlook the fundamental point here that got Boris Becker in trouble, that she's really easy on the eyes, too. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, certainly, certainly. I can go along with that very quickly.
Exactly. But we're not allowed to say that now. I suppose the politically correct out there would say, no, you're not allowed to compliment a woman on her beauty. That's objectifying. You should compliment her on her. Oh, okay. Let's go with intellect then. Yeah. Do you know 5 languages? Okay. Then we're going to compliment you on your intellect, but also point out that, yeah, in addition to being unbelievably intelligent, you're also really hot to look at. You're smoking. You're beautiful. You're easy on the eyes. Say whatever you want.
Let me answer one thing for you about not being able to. Want a bet? Certainly. Want a bet?
You and I are on the same side of the fence on that one, Dennis. We will not abide. Take care, Dennis. Thanks for the call. 749-5500-800-823-TALK. Little development, Cummins Street, beginning today, I guess. Northbound Cummins Street now closed for a full year between Beekman and Carl Streets in North Fairmount. This is the city repairs the retaining walls as part of a $3.5 million project. Motorists going northbound on Cummins going to be detoured via Beekman. Southbound side of Cummins is going to remain open to through traffic. Now, after the wall is repaired, construction will begin on the intersection of Beekman and Cummins for safety improvements, including adding a 3-way stop to create a designated right turn to and from Cummins. So there's your project. I hope it doesn't interfere with your daily commute. Permanent Ferris wheel, apparently not a good idea anymore. There are currently no plans to build the two giant observation wheels that were planned a year ago on the Ohio River, one on the Cincinnati side and one on the Newport side. Newport City Manager Tom Fromm, recently speaking with the Cincinnati Inquirer, said the Newport Skywheel slated for Newport and Levee won't happen anytime soon. He said, in his words, the economy ruined plans for the wheel. Anyway, a permit from the Army Corps of Air Engineers gave the city for the structure in 2019 expires July 18th, he said. Possibility of another observation wheel returning across the river to the banks doesn't look much better. So, again, pandemic disrupting lives and also our entertainment.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Going to jail for a long time, this guy is. Cincinnati police officer responded back in January. Report of a person unresponsive in a front yard. Officers soon found two other overdose victims inside a nearby house. Fortunately for them, Narcan was available and firefighters were able to revive them. They'd overdose, of course, on fentanyl-laced heroin. Sold by the now incarcerated for 20 years, 46-year-old Daryl Seay, S-E-A-Y. People who bought the heroin didn't know it was laced with fentanyl, which made heroin significantly more potent, and, of course, therein was the result of the overdose. So 20 years for that. You can murder somebody and get less time. It is 7:35 right now. Let's shoot shotguns and raise some money for Better Business Bureau at the same time, at least their charity. We'll be talking in the next segment with Chris Klug from the Better Business Bureau about the BBB 2021 Patriot Cup. Before that, though, I want to mention Suzette. Suzette Lozekamp, Loan One Mortgage. You want to talk to her? Well, I know Suzette. .740 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station. Happy Friday. Well, if you're friends with or know Chris Klug, we don't have his number. He's supposed to call us up. He's with the Better Business Bureau. You might want to check on him because we haven't heard from him yet, and Joe didn't have his number. So he wanted to talk to us about the Patriot Cup. I've participated in that before. It's an awesome event. Sporting Clays. So for more information, go to BBB.org, I'm sure, and you can find out all about the 2021 Patriot Cup, which raises money for the Center for Ethics and the Cincinnati Veterans Affairs Program. So good work being done by the Better Business Bureau, and I love the fact that it's sporting clay. So bring your shotgun and have a great time. Let's see what Patty's got this morning. 749-5500, 800-823-TALK. #550 on AT&T phones. Hey, Patty, thanks for calling this morning, and a very happy Friday to you.
Yes, good morning, Brian, and thank you for the privilege of allowing me to exercise my First Amendment right. We can never appreciate our freedoms any more than when they're trying to take them away, so I definitely appreciate that, and you're keeping that alive. Brian, I think it's so important that we continue to ask What did President 44 mean when he repeated over and over again that he was about to fundamentally transform the United States of America? And people say, who is the they that the current president says he has to do what they tell him?
Yeah, that's...
I think we know who's back there twiddling his thumbs. He and his wife of 44, promised to overthrow our history and our traditions. The point I want to make this morning, Brian, with you, is that all this that's going on, the economy, the violence, the crappy schools, the kleptocracy that is emerging in our cities, are all, in fact, part of the Maoist cultural revolution. And I would love to turn your attention just real quickly to an article in the recent Epoch Times where they break it down to Mao's campaign to eliminate the four olds, is what Mao called them.
Yeah.
The old customs, the old culture, old habits, and old ideas. And with that, they tore down the temples and the relics and the historical buildings and the statues, and of course, the books had to be destroyed.
Of course.
And well, if you notice, Brian, we are right in the midst of a Maoist cultural revolution. They're using all the tricks and all the techniques, and they're destroying our way of life.
Yep, they're trying anyway. You know, and you and I can feel free to stand up against it, because, like I said before, I'm not going to abide. I'm going to be the first person, Patty, they're going to put one of those re-education camps, if they're ever successful in taking over society on some Maoist level. You can make sure assured that either they'll execute me like most communist dictatorships do, or I will end up in a re-education camp where I will refuse to be re-educated. I mean, you can't talk common sense, logic, and reason or freedom out of my brain. I will die with those principles firmly in place. Patty, take care. Thanks for the pointing out. Well, what some people would go, well, isn't that obvious? Some people don't, though. Appreciate it, Patty. 749-5500-800-823-TALK. That now, Joe, going real quick. Hey, Chris Klug, welcome to the morning show. Good to hear from you. Let's talk about the Patriot Cup.
Yeah, Brian, how you doing? The Patriot Cup is an event that the Better Business Bureau Center for Ethics puts on every year to help raise money for programming we do at the Cincinnati VA Medical Center to help get veterans coming back that are going through job reentry programs to help them find jobs and give them the training they need to be able to go out there and be successful.
Fantastic. So the charity is definitely a nice one, and I couldn't love a fundraiser more than shooting sporting clays at Sycamore Sporting Clays. I go there throughout the year for different events and, you know, meeting guys out there, but this is a terrific event, and it's just so unusual for any organization, business or otherwise, to choose shooting shotguns, sporting clays as a fundraiser. I applaud you for doing that. It's like bucking the trend, Chris.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we think it's unique, too. Everybody does kind of a golf tournament or some kind of 5K or something like that. We chose to go a different route and give everybody that is new to the or old to the sport, give them a chance to come out and shoot. And we invite people that are new to the sport or want to get involved to come
yeah.
out and show them how to do it and get kind of the whole community involved.
And you know what? Having been involved with skeet trap sporting clays for any number of years now, what I have found in every single environment, speaking of those folks who are not familiar with it, who haven't shot sporting clays before, everybody's willing to help you that's been down this road before. They'll be happy to give you pointers and tips, and sometimes more than your brain can even handle. But if you think you're afraid to go just because you've never done it before, do not let that stand in your way. You know, pull trigger, gun goes bang. You're going to get a smile on your face just for that. And if you hit the clay, all the better. Chris Klug, all the information's on my blog page, 55krc.com, or I'll recommend my listeners head on over to bbb.org for more information. Hopefully I'll be able to make it, Chris. I will be late as usual because the event starts at 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday, July 16th. I'll be on the air until 9, but I may very well be able to stop by, and I sure hope I can make it. Chris, best of luck on the event, and thanks for giving us a call to promote it.
Thanks. We look forward to seeing you. And if anybody has any interest, go to patriotcup.org.
There you go, patriotcup.org. Chris, take care, and thanks for what you're doing at the BBB. 747 right now, 55 KRC, the talk station.
As you head out to enjoy summer, you'll need to pack a few things. But your favorite news and talk fits on your phone already with the iHeartRadio app at 55KRC.com.
8:05, fast approaching 8:06 right now here at 55KRC Talk Station. I hope you're having a wonderful Friday. Glad you're tuned in right now because you're just in time for my next guest, Michelle Easton. She is the president of the Claire Booth Luce Center for Conservative Women. Yes, conservative women. I said it. She prepares young women for leadership, policy, and civil society and family, dedicated her career to equipping young women to think for themselves on important issues and dismantling the radical feminist and liberal ideologies that threaten American society. She's a lawyer. Has been working in favor of the conservative movement since the early 1970s, worked through all 12 years of the Reagan-Bush administrations, including presidential appointments in the Education Department. Welcome to the program, Michelle Easton, also author of the book we're going to talk about today, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter. It's great to have you on the 55 KRC Morning Show, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Brian. It's my pleasure to be with you this morning.
My youngest is 25. I hear her discuss her peers at work, and she has a difficult time discussing politics with them. She, like me, I think would characterize herself as a little L libertarian, but certainly no big government supporter and no supporter of Joe Biden. She made the mistake the other day of saying that she didn't vote for Joe Biden, inviting slings and arrows of outrage from the people she works with, Michelle, all of whom are about her age.
I believe it.
It's a rare breed, isn't it, Michelle? A conservative woman.
It is, and the left and the liberals and the radical feminists have gotten more and more adamant that everyone must agree with them. I've been working for young women now for 28 years. I founded this Center for Conservative Women, and I noticed there were some things about young women who turned out conservative, about the way their lives had gone, about the way they'd lived. And so I decided to write a book about it, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter, based on what I'd seen with all these thousands of young women. So it's meant to be a guide. It's meant to be a guide for parents and grandparents or anybody in a position to influence the development of a young woman. Because today, the cultural forces arrayed against young women, women, the families, are really terrifying at times.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, her reaction was one of like a little bit of dismay, like, oh, geez, do we have to go down this road? But more fundamentally, she had to point out that she said, well, Dad, I didn't tell him I voted for Trump. I just said that I voted. She said I voted libertarian. She didn't want to let them know that by saying she didn't vote for Biden, that that meant she voted for Trump, which is where the outrage came from. But I mean, she's more than capable of dealing with that. I mean, my daughter's kind of like me, thick skin, you know, is willing to say, raise her metaphorical middle finger in response to nonsense like this. Where does that part come from? How do we raise children that, and I don't want to sound flippant when I say that, just don't care about stupid opinions from the left, you know, that have the thick skin, Michelle?
Well, you raised her well. I'd give yourself credit for that. My goal in this book is for readers to think about conservative values and how to instill them through practical real-life applications. I give a lot of specific ideas. But, you know, given your profession, I'll bet you talk about these things at home. I bet you've been talking about them since she was little. I know in my family, the dinner table was, we just talked about all this stuff. In fact, by the time I was 7 or 8, I got big government taxes because my father used to sit there and talk about all the things our family, our middle-class family, could not do because the government taxed us so heavily, the state, the local, and the federal government. So one of the first things for parents to do is to talk about these issues. A lot of parents say, well, I'm conservative. You know, we go to church, so she'll just be conservative. It used to be that way, but it doesn't happen by osmosis anymore. The cultural forces are just too big, and you have to really work as a parent at teaching and nurturing and cultivating conservative beliefs. And I get a whole book here of ideas of things to do to help you along the way. There's no guarantee. It's never a guarantee.
No.
But you've got to talk about these things. You've got to expose her to different parts of life. You got to have her read. You got to watch what's going on in her school. You got to teach her that working is a virtue. You know, this left-wing thing where work and income are somehow separate. she can learn really young about work. So I think we should be helping people to raise their daughters conservative if they want. That's why I wrote How to Raise a Conservative Daughter.
Imagine the idea of having independent thought, Michelle Easton. What an amazing concept that. But what about, I have this happen, and I know you write about this in your book. Again, the name of the book, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter, which you can find on my blog page, 55krc.com, among other places. But that the conservative parents that think they have raised their children conservatively only to have them come back home after, 6 months at a liberal college, spewing all of this left-wing woke blather. I mean, it's almost is the reaction when talking about it is like, I don't know how to deal with them. I don't know how to even talk to my child anymore.
It's true. And the truth is some of these girls and young men also, they go into it, then they, sanity takes over. But I think the best way to avoid it, just totally taking the child away, is to spend all the childhood doing the things, taking them to church, talking about money, talking about the issues, life. How can anybody be arguing? And teachers all the time are arguing, it's a woman's body, the feminists. And so we like to teach the girls polite questions. We like to be polite. Like, you talk about a woman having a right to control her body and have an abortion, but does science, they're big on science.
Right.
Does science tell us that her baby is a part of her body, or is it a separate human being? Well, that's an easy one. Anybody can look at a sonogram, but, you got to take the time to do these things with your kids. Talk them through, you and the grandparents and whoever's around is with you, to get them talking about, to get them accustomed to speaking up if they're on the shy side, and defending the things they truly believe in, like life, not just the babies. At the other end, too, you remember Hillary Care, she wanted the death panels. We're going to decide for you old people who we're going to spend the money on. Life is a sacred thing to us. So you got to talk about these things with your kids.
Yeah, and fortunately for me, my father, the advice that you mentioned, the idea of talking at the dinner table, that mm-hmm. was, his passion was along those lines. And I became of political age in the first Reagan administration. That was when I was in high school. And yeah. It was because of talking about taxes and the idea of lowering taxes being beneficial to everyone and reducing the size of government. I mean, I remember having these conversations, and it was almost as if like a light went off. Like, yeah. Oh, wow, that makes perfect sense. And from that point forward, I've always carried that sort of conservative small government mantra, because I know you and I are better decision makers with regard to how our money is spent than a federal government.
That's right. That's same as my dad. I mean, it wasn't hard to get.
I got it. And then, of course, I did the same thing with mine, up to the point where both of my children said, Dad, we've had it up to our eyeballs. We get it. We're on your side. Quit talking about it.
And so,
but okay, and I bring only that up in the context of the question I got to ask.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I've said this many times before. You got two working parents. You know, after select soccer and baseball and all of everything else that goes on and, you know, meal preparation, the extent everybody's even cooking a meal up, nobody's got time for politics. If you're going to watch TV, they're going to watch something like The Bachelor or something. And so to have these conversations, one must be, well, have a full grasp or at least a reasonable grasp of the conservative principles and how to point out to young people by way of illustration or example why they're superior to this leftist blather. You got to pay attention to do that, though, don't you, Michelle?
That's right. You got to make time. You got to, and you're right. Moms and dads are working. We're busy. But you got to turn off the phone sometimes, close up the laptop, find the opportunities, whether it's at meals, whether it's when they're younger and you're driving them places. Find the opportunities. And another key part of being a conservative that I write about, in fact, it's my first chapter. Self-worth flows from God, not government. Now, you don't have to be devoutly religious, but I would urge parents to take your kids to church or synagogue, whatever, you know, your family is, because it's important, especially for daughters, that, you know, the left starts talking about the self-esteem. No, it's self-worth. Self-esteem is, oh, I'm happy with myself. Self-worth is an inner concept, knowing that you're uniquely made and loved by God, and it's also a corner of conservatism. Think about this. You know, why do totalitarian and tyrannical governments like in communist China and Cuba and North Korea, why do they impose atheism on their people? Because people of faith know that their self-worth comes from God, not government, and this threatens them because,
yes.
And you know, they torture, they beat, they imprison people of faith. Why do they do this? Because to socialists, to the left, to the radical feminists, government dependency is key because God is a higher power.
Yes.
And so all this stuff lately where we're just sending out this, quote, free money, so much of it is part of that theme. They want you to be government dependent. They don't want you to be government, depend on your family, to have deep faith, because that doesn't fit with the leftist socialist idea. So take your kids to church, even if you're not especially religious. If you are, good for you. Have them understand the whole faith hold. And, you know, our founding fathers, think about it. What is it that makes us exceptional? The left says, oh, you know, it's because we're so rich, it's a beautiful country. No. What makes America different from every other country in the world? Our founding fathers got it. They put it in the Declaration of Independence, that we are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. That means they're impossible to take away. Our rights in America don't come from government. They come from God. It's the government's job to protect them. And that is a really central idea that even good conservatives, I'll talk to them about it and say, yeah, that's right. We got to talk about that. In America, our rights are from God, not from government. So we don't want government dominating us.
Yeah, and you know, to my atheist friends, my agnostic friends, whatever, I always I point out, well, then, you know, it's as we discussed in political science classes, this, just think of it as the state of nature. Whether or not you believe in God, if there was no government, what rights would you have? And the answer would be all of them. Yes, you could protect yourself. Yes, you can say what's on your mind. No one could, you know, interfere with your world. You would have the right and the freedom to prevent people from rifling through your effects and papers. All of it exists on our own. In the state of nature. Now, believe it comes from God, believe the world was created by God or not, it still precedes government, and our founding fathers knew that and incorporated into the core documents, which, of course, you'll read about and how to you know, instill this in your daughters by getting a copy of my guest's book today. Her name, again, Michelle Easton. She's written How to Raise a Conservative Daughter, which, as I mentioned earlier, Michelle, my listeners can find it on my blog page at 55krc.com, and I'll strongly encourage them to get a copy. And, of course, I always encourage people to share the wisdom by loaning it to a friend after they've read it. Michelle?
Absolutely.
Thank you. On behalf of my listeners and me, for what you're doing and what you have done your entire life and fight for conservative values and helping instill, strength in these women you've influenced over the years.
And congratulations to you on a great show and on raising a great family. God bless you.
Still working on it, Michelle, but I appreciate it. Take care of yourself and stay well. 818 at 55 KRC, the talk station. Time for me to mention Infiniti. Infiniti of Cincinnati in the King's Auto Mall. What a great car. Infiniti always has been great cars. I love this new one. They've got this 2022 QX55. I would not call it your standard crossover. Check it out. Go to InfinityOfCincinnati.com and look at it. See the asymmetrical cabin design, the style. Check out the power performance, the comfort. I recommend just going up to the King's Audemars and driving one. You'll really, really, really enjoy it. And then you get to talk to the wonderful folks at Infinity of Cincinnati about the great price you're going to be able to get on this. Infinity, great car. King's Audemars is where you're going to find Infinity of Cincinnati. But find them online at InfinityOfCincinnati.com, where you can see the QX. KRC, the talk station. Happy Friday. Wonderful world indeed. That song, of course, always reminds me of Ron Wilson, who we get in the spring and the fall here on the 55KRC Morning Show on Fridays. And, of course, we get him every single Saturday here at 55KRC, the talk station, throughout the year. So tune in tomorrow in the morning. Give you some gardening advice and tips. And always has very interesting guests. A big show in the Thomas household. We sure do appreciate him. You know, I'm sorry I did not ask my last guest, Michelle Easton, and her book, How to Raise a Conservative Daughter, If she thinks it's okay to refer to a woman as pretty, is that an offense? I've been talking about this all morning. I just am just totally taken aback by the idea that men are not allowed to compliment women on their looks now. At least I learned this from Boris Becker, catching heat. And this is online heat. I appreciate the fact it could be five trolls out there in the world who are screaming about him, you know, objectifying women merely because he referred to this tennis player's girlfriend as pretty. And she is. I'll say it. And I refuse to abide by this alleged rule that's out there now that says you're not allowed to compliment a woman on her looks. I don't get many compliments on my looks. My wife is very generous with compliments. And I also think, and I'm saying it out loud, and no, this is not objectifying my wife. My wife's pretty. How's that? Married out of my league. I'm lucky. I feel no reservation or hesitation. If I find something pretty, I'm more than happy to say it. But, you know, Boris Becker got heat for that. I should have asked her, though, if that was a problem. I mean, I'm certain I know the reaction she would have given me. But apparently we need to mind our P's and Q's when handing out compliments now. Welcome to political correctness gone completely blanking amok. Coming up at 825, 55 KRC, the talk station, local stories coming up, or phone calls if you'd rather call, feel free. Jason Williams will be on at 840, talking about a couple of his opinion pieces from the Cincinnati Inquirer. First, a word for Home Helpers Home Care, because if you need some help with your loved one and you can't be there to provide the help that you normally give, that's why you would need help. Helping with meal preparation, house cleaning, getting dressed in the morning, perhaps hygiene, getting in and out of the shower, all of that. Home Helpers Home Care is there for you when you can't be there for that loved one. I think about seniors primarily, but this could be anybody that needs your assistance. So you call Home Helpers Home Care and you schedule a free in-home care assessment where they come to you, discuss your needs, the needs of your loved one, and work out a schedule that satisfies all those times when you can't be there. Because Home Helpers Home Care can be there any time of day or night and any day of the year. K28, 55KRC, the talk station. Happy Friday. Coming to the last half hour of the 55KRC Morning Show for this Friday. Looking forward to a nice weekend, and I hope you've got some good plans scheduled. The weather seems, well, maybe not going to cooperate a little bit tomorrow. Not sure about Sunday, but sleeping in is all I care about on the weekend. Whatever happens after that happens. Let's go to the phones. Got a couple of callers online. First off, calling women pretty. I've been dwelling on this. Hey, learn new rules of political correctness every day. Boris Becker stating the obvious that this Annette Bazamanye, wherever she, whatever her last name or however it's pronounced, they got a bunch of photographs of her proving Boris Becker's point that she is indeed pretty. But you uttered that out loud, and the woke left comes unglued because they think you are objectifying women just by merely offering them a compliment or an observation like that. So let's see what Steve's got on that. Terry, hang on. We'll get your call next. Steve, thanks for calling this morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday, Brian. I was just going to say, had it not been taboo to comment to somebody about how they look, I probably would have married my wife 10 years ago rather than just a year and a half ago. the first time I ever saw her, I thought, God, you're so beautiful. But just wasn't able to say it, you know? So, it was funny how things have progressed, but she even said, I had no idea you felt that way.
See? So,
Yeah,
now it's but you know, Steve, it's a question of timing. If when you literally first walked up to her and just like I started gushing about how beautiful she was, she might thought maybe you were like a little stalkery or perhaps creepy. It's all in the delivery and timing. But
yeah,
I would say as a rule, you should be allowed to compliment someone when you find them attractive. And we all have different ideas of beauty, don't we, Steve?
Absolutely.
I mean, I married a blonde, but I prefer in terms of women's looks. I like brunettes. I always have. But you know what? That doesn't mean you're going to fall in love with one, but you can still find them attractive. So, yeah, we live in a crazy world, Steve. And, yeah, you opened your mouth a little bit earlier and you would have had a lot more time.
Absolutely.
Take care,
Absolutely.
Steve. Thanks for the call, man. Stay well. Let's see what Terry's got this morning. Hey, Terry, happy Friday. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, man. I sure hope you can say the same.
I guess Julia Roberts and Richard Gere are out now. So,
see, yeah, I never. Terry, you bring up Julia Roberts' name, and I have to tell you, I never once thought she was good looking ever. You see, there's a lot of people that think she's just drop dead gorgeous. I look at her, and I get bile in the back of my throat. There you have it. Subjectivity.
Subjectivity. Yeah, talk about objectivity. It was, I just thought. Well, since they moved the All-Star game out to Colorado and away from Atlanta, you know, you had Stacey and Mayor Bottoms there jumping up and down about the unfair, quote-unquote, Jim Crow laws. And then talking to a friend of mine, they just happened to be minorities, and their children, who were of age, had filed for permits, vending permits, to vend at the All-Star games.
Uh-huh.
And the first requirement is money, an ID, and fingerprints. And I called him. I said, well, but you don't, but we were protesting the fact that you need an ID to vote. Well, you need this, the preventing license. You need all that. It's for safety and security.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just the thought.
And right back at them. That's why there's a voter ID requirement as well. It's for safety and security, securing the integrity of the vote.
but that's Jim Crow, I heard.
Yeah, right. Well, they can call it whoever they happen to be. They can call it what they want, but we all know the reality. A Jim Crow law is a law that was applied to specifically impact and quite often specifically stated people of color. A black person cannot vote. You are not allowed to vote unless your father voted. And, of course, your father, it was illegal for him to vote. That's how you exclude a specific race of people. It has a direct impact on the race the way the law is written and is written with the intent of having that direct impact. If you say you must have a voter ID, that impacts everybody across the board. Rich, poor, black, white, Asian, it doesn't matter. Everyone is impacted by that. It's not a problem. You can get a free ID. One will be provided, one, and there's always alternatives to the specific photo ID. But generally speaking, it does not disproportionately impact anyone. It's been statistically proven that that does not impact anyone. It's the left screaming and being paternalistic and belittling black people at the same time by calling it a Jim Crow law. No, black people are smarter than that. They know a Jim Crow law when they see one. And a voter ID requirement that equally applies to all is not, even remotely, Jim Crow. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, Terry. I appreciate the rant. Get it out of my system. On a Friday morning, 749-5500-800-823-TALK. Rianne, Jason Williams coming up next on J.D. Vance joining the Senate race, as well as he claims he wonders what happened to Coast. Well, Coast got in touch with us this morning and said, well, what happened to Jason Williams? He didn't bother giving us a call for the article. That will be an interesting conversation coming up next. Always enjoy those with Jason. I'll give you a local story here, and this one came up this morning. Lawrence called and mentioned this tragic situation. Man now in critical condition is after a shooting in Winton Hills. This happened last night. 19-year-old shot in the head. This happened on Winesti Avenue in the 5300 block. Took him to UC Medical, or rather, University of Cincinnati Hospital with serious injuries. No suspect information at this time. So since Crime Stopper Bad Guy of the Week Day today, we'll add this one to the list. If you know anything about this shooting, please call Crime Stoppers at 352-3040. Tips would be very helpful to arrest this evildoer. 19-year-old in critical condition. It's 835, almost 835, 55 KRCD Talk Station. Jason Williams from Cincinnati Inquirer coming up next. Looking forward to that conversation. And I first want to mention CME Pipe.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.